Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Sally Kirk, who is both an Alexander Technique teacher and a Bates Vision Improvement teacher. She works in Bath and Bristol, England. And we're going to talk today a little about those two methods, how they perhaps relate to each other, complement each other. We're going to have a general discussion about those two methods specifically, and I suppose vision re-education in general. Sally, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Could you begin by giving our listeners a short description of the Alexander technique and the Bates, I guess it's usually called Bates method?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. Okay, well, for me, the Alexander technique is about getting more self-awareness. So I work with my pupils in lessons to get them to pay better attention to how they're moving, and standing and walking and breathing. And then once they have more awareness of themselves and their habits, then they have a choice where they can perhaps make a change, do the same thing, or do something completely different. This is very similar in the Bates method as well, in that we're, instead of working in the Alexander technique with the whole body, we work more with the vision system. And we start to gain more awareness of how we're using our eyes. And when we pay attention to the eyes, we can then also start to notice habits in our way of looking and seeing. It's similar to the habits that we have when we're moving. And then once we have that awareness, we can make a choice perhaps to make changes in the way that we look at the world. And then the choices are that we can reduce the tension that we have either in the body or in the visual system, which then improves the way that we move or the way that we see. Mm-hmm. And that's the basis of it.
Well, I know that a number of people, and I believe you're among them, have experienced some vision improvement with Alexander lessons.
Yes.
And I know that I believe Alexander, even there's a quote in one of his books referring to that possibility. But I think most people who take Alexander lessons would not do it primarily for vision re-education. And I also kind of suspect, I might be wrong about this, that while they may experience some vision improvement, it may not be enough, for example, to get them to let go of their glasses. Would that be your experience with that?
Well, exactly. Whilst I was training, I noticed that my vision was changing. So whilst I was training to be an Alexander technique teacher, I became very interested then in what was going on with my vision system. But it took me into having lessons in the Bates method myself in order to really make constant ongoing changes in my visual system. Mm-hmm. I'm actually nearsighted or short-sighted. Mm-hmm. And have made major improvements in my vision through both the Alexander technique and the Bates method work.
So what do you see as, what does the Bates method bring to the table that Alexander technique on its own might not be able to do? Is it just that it's specializing in how your eyes function, or is there something else that it adds?
We add quite a great deal more with the Bates method, because the activities and the things that we do within a lesson are specific to the eyes. And so we work with light, because obviously the whole visual system is about the light entering the eyes and then the eyes transferring that as an electronic message to the brain, and then the brain interpreting that message. So it's very important how the eyes bringing the light into the brain, and then how you're using your brain to interpret the message. Similarly, with the Alexander technique, how you're using your brain helps with how you're using your whole body. Mm-hmm. But specific to the eyes, we work on not just getting more light into the eyes, but also thinking about getting good balance with light and dark, because a lot of people perhaps will go through their lives in well-lit houses, well-lit streets, and never really get to experience much darkness anymore. So it's getting outside, getting into the sunlight to experience daylight more, but also allowing yourself to experience darkness as well, because both are equally important to the eyes. So that's different to the Alexander technique. Also, there are a lot of things that are very similar, like the rest and the relaxation part of the Bates method. So through the Alexander technique, we're releasing tension, we're allowing freedom and lengthening. But with the rest part of the Bates method, we are also starting to pay attention to how tense the muscles are on the external, around the outside of the eyes, but also the internal muscles, and starting to pay attention to how they're moving and how much tension is in the whole system. So that's quite similar.
And can I just interrupt here for a second? So the similarity there is both methods are concerned with releasing excess muscle tension, let's say. Yes. My own experience with Bates is that it seemed to rely, at least to a fair extent, on certain exercises, you might say, procedures that you would do, things like palming and I think it was called swinging, or kind of rotating your body around. And that those methods do seem a little different than what most Alexander teachers do when they're working with students. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's a somewhat different approach to releasing tension, but certainly the same general goal. Okay.
And, it is.
Okay, and you said there were some more things you wanted to cover there?
Well, we talked about the light and the rest, and there's also the movement, which is what you were talking about there, with the swings and the sways, which mm-hmm. are movement activities that we use to get the whole body moving, but also to get the eyes moving as well, mm-hmm. because a lot of the problems with eyesight are often to do with the eyes being very fixed and not moving as naturally as they need to. So again, releasing the tension and allowing the eyes to move more naturally is a function of the activities that we do. Mm-hmm. And obviously with the eyes being very much more an internal system, you can't be quite as direct as you can with the Alexander technique. So mm-hmm. we can work more with the hands-on in the Alexander technique with movement and release and all of the things that we do within a lesson. But with the eyesight work, you have to work more with the whole, but specifically thinking about the eyes and the visual system. And that makes it slightly different, really.
Yeah, to me, it's always seemed that the challenges of releasing tension in the eye muscles are kind of at a different level than, say, releasing neck tension or tension in other parts of your body, where, as you say, a teacher can use his or her hands to help guide you out of tension patterns. And just in general, they seem, I suppose because they're larger muscle groups, they seem a little easier to deal with than those little muscles that circle around the eyeball, for example.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that Alexander, F.M. Alexander, was really smart in choosing the head-neck relationship as kind of a primary intervention point, because you could still put your hands on it, help guide a student. It was fairly easy to work with. But if you really start thinking of what is the most primary of primary controls, I would think the eye-head relationship would be right up near the top of the list. But he may have understood that, but he also knew, I would guess, that that probably was a whole different ball of wax, so to speak, a little trickier to get to. Would that be your take on it as well?
Well, absolutely, yes, yes. And I think that we often talk about the head leads and the body follows,
right,
as being part of the lessons that I give. Mm-hmm. And I think often actually it's the eyes that are leading the head. And I think it's all very interrelated. And I think the head-neck-back relationship is very much interrelated with how we see. So I often will bring that into my Bates lessons as well, which is it's a great complementary part that I have that I can bring and link it in with both types of method. Mm-hmm. Because I notice in myself that when I really get a release of tension with my eyes, I can feel it all the way over my head, down my neck, and down my spine. So it really, really is interconnected with everything. So in order to get a proper visual release, I think you need a release of the whole body.
Now, I think it might be useful to talk a little bit about how someone who is interested in improving their vision might approach these two methods. Certainly one of some of the Bates procedures or Bates exercises involve movement of one kind or another.
Yeah.
And of course, the Alexander technique is all about movement quality. So I could imagine just on the level of how well you do the Bates exercises, the Alexander technique would have something to offer. Can you see any other ways in which the Alexander technique would enhance the Bates method?
I find it helps because people can, once you start to use the Alexander technique, you get more in touch with yourself and the whole of your use. It helps, as you say, with all the different the swings and the sways and the different movement activities to get that balance. And it's a whole body balance that we get with the Alexander technique. But also because we have two eyes, we need to have a balance in our eyes and our visual system as well. So having a sense of the self and the balance of the self also helps with getting a balance of the two eyes, because I see a lot of people that have an imbalance between the two eyes. And unfrequently, they're not necessarily aware of it because the brain is very clever and deals with that imbalance. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, that's really helpful.
And I would think the looking in the other direction, how might Bates work help someone who was interested in what the Alexander technique has to offer, that is better quality of movement, that sort of thing, that the Bates technique could be a kind of a refining aspect of that, as your own experience suggests, could take it to a somewhat higher level. Would that make sense to you?
I think so, yes, absolutely, yes.
So someone listening to this who hasn't had experience with either method, what would your general advice be in terms of which to approach first, or how to go about using these two modalities?
I think that possibly, and I might be biased here because I approached it first through the Alexander technique, because that, as you said, it's more accessible to start working with your whole self first and to have more of an awareness of your whole body and its use and to get that freedom from tension first would possibly be the best approach, and then to start working on your vision because it is that slightly more indirect process.
Right. And I guess as a practical matter, I may be wrong about this, but certainly in America, I think there are probably a lot more Alexander teachers than Bates practitioners? Is that your impression?
I would say so, yes.
And I don't know in the UK if that's the case or not.
It is.
It's the same there, too. So it could be that you really wouldn't have a big choice. You'd have to start with Alexander, but over time you might be able to locate a Bates teacher you could study with. Now, you know, when people are contemplating taking Alexander lessons, one of the first questions they'll ask is, how many lessons do I need? Which drives most Alexander teachers nuts. There are some standard answers that get trotted out, but I don't think they're very, very worthwhile. I would imagine that the same thing happens with the Bates method. And how do you respond to someone says to you, well, okay, I want to study with you, but how many lessons am I going to need?
Well, usually I say, unfortunately, I cannot say, because first of all, I have to really understand the person and what their visual issues are. And then we have to devise some kind of a program that's individual to them to help them with their vision. And one person to the next is going to be completely different. And the type of vision that they have, the way that they see, the way that they think is going to be different to the next person. So there's really no way of actually physically saying you're going to need this number of lessons. I think even after the first lesson, they will have learned a lot, but they will need to go on and do more. And also another problem that's thrown up is that because the activities that I teach in the lessons then need to be taken away and incorporated into their daily lives, one person to the next may do that in a completely different way. One person might do absolutely nothing, another might do something every day. And so the amount of change that they have or the progress that they make is going to vary from person to person.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the same answer you could give for the Alexander technique,
exactly,
too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sally, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to talk about?
Well, probably the only thing that I would say to somebody who's perhaps wanting to improve their eyesight is that the first thing that I encourage people to do is to take off their glasses and to start to experience the world without the glasses in front of their eyes. And they might just do that at home or in a place where they feel safe. It doesn't have to be the entire time. And when they're driving, they do need to be legally wearing their prescription glasses. But in order to really start to make a change, we have to start to accept where we're at that point in time and be present with actually what, you know, to accept the blur, we often say, in the Bates method.
What would be your take on the idea of getting some, if you are wearing glasses, to get some glasses that have a weaker prescription and use them in situations, not driving, obviously, but just around the house?
Yes. And that's what I usually do with clients, is to get them into training glasses, which would be very slightly a weaker prescription than they would usually use. Mm-hmm. And then gradually over time to keep reducing that prescription. And that's usually because it's the gentlest way to progress. I mean, some people, depending on their vision, can go immediately without glasses and can be absolutely fine. But the majority would probably need a more gentle progression through the change.
Mm-hmm. And just one other question. I know that there are these, they're kind of like glasses. They're called pinhole glasses, which are basically solid plastic with little holes through them, lots of little holes, that instead of a lens, you have, you know, multiple small holes. And they are kind of remarkable because they are somewhat analogous to early cameras, that they do give you a kind of a sharper vision within this sort of lattice-like framework. And I believe a lot of Bates teachers would suggest that as something that maybe you could do on your own experiment with those? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a pair of pinhole glasses, which I allow people to try.
Right.
Depending, again, on their vision, some people don't get on well with pinhole glasses, but some people think they're great. And they're a really good alternative to wearing their glasses.
Right. And actually, so, if you want to find them, you just do a web search for pinhole glasses. And I actually found a company in the States that sells quite stylish ones at a very reasonable price, including pinhole sunglasses. So, So that's something that someone listening could explore if they have, if they're nearsighted, for example, and they have a separate pair of reading glasses, they might experiment with using those around the house, even when they're not reading, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is probably a good place to bring our conversation to a close. My guest today has been Sally Kirk, who's an Alexander Technique teacher and a Bates Vision Improvement teacher. She lives in Bath, England, works in Bath and Bristol in that general part of the country. If anything that we've talked about intrigues you, we'll put a link to her website by the interview. And if you want to find out more about the Alexander Technique, we'll put a link to a site that will tell you more about it and will enable you to locate a teacher elsewhere in the world. And maybe after we finish our conversation, you could suggest a link I could put that would have general information on the Bates method. Sally, Sally, thanks so much. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you.